26 years ago, I was living in the first house that I had ever purchased. And for Christmas of that year, some friends gave me a Christmas tree, but not a cut tree. It was a live tree, a live pine tree. It was about 5 feet tall. It had a root ball attached that was wrapped in burlap. I put it in the house. I decorated it as a Christmas tree. And then after Christmas, I carried it outside and I planted it in the front yard. And it grew. I then sold the house a couple years after that. But every couple of years when I'm in the neighborhood or in the area, I'll drive by and take a look at the house. Not much has changed except for that tree. It grows and grows and grows. And the last time I saw it, it had gotten to be about 40 feet tall. It's huge. Now, I remember when I was a kid and we went to visit this great uncle. His wife had recently died and my mother wanted to make a visit. And we were at his house and he was walking us, you know, around the place. And he pointed out to a grove of trees and told me that when they first bought the house and moved in, that there was nothing out in that part of the yard. He had planted all those trees himself. And they were huge. And they were impossibly huge to me. They were like sequoias out there. And I wondered, who could live so long and be so old that trees would grow that big in their lifetime? And now I am that guy. Pine trees, fortunately, don't require much care. You plant them, you water them for a while, and they grow. Other plants, on the other hand, do require care and attention if you want them to do something specific, something that is outside of their nature. Our reading for today from the Gospel of John centers on the care that is required of grapevines. Mature grapevines have trunks which emerge out of the soil, and they're 6 to 10 inches in diameter. And the vine grows out of the ground, and then it splits off into branches. Grape growers have, through the centuries, learned that it is most advantageous if they prune their grapevines. And this is best done at the end of the plant's dormancy cycle, usually late winter. And the most common mistake that people make is not pruning aggressively enough. Light cutting or pruning does not promote adequate fruiting, as they call it. Heavy pruning, on the other side, provides the highest quality of grapes, grapes which are plump and sweet and mature. And to me, this is counterintuitive, but it is what happens. It takes energy for a grapevine to produce new growth in the form of branches and fruit. By pruning the excess growth, a grower can force the vine to route its energy into fruit production. By careful pruning, the plant will then produce larger and sweeter grapes, which is what we want. The secret to all this is that grapevines only produce fruit on 1-year-old wood, wood that emerged the previous season. Buds on 1-year-old wood produce flowers that then develop into fruit. Buds on older wood produce only leaves or shoots. A vine grower can expect to remove 70 to 90% of the previous year's growth each winter to promote healthy grape production. Today, grape growers train their vines to grow on trellises or wires. Back in Jesus' day, the grape vines grew along the ground, and the vine grower would go along and lift up the vines as he pruned them away. The Gospel of John is different than the other three Gospels, in that in the Gospel of John, you're not going to find any of those stories that we call parables. There's no prodigal son, no good Samaritan, no wedding feast. But John does, however, have the seven I am statements of Jesus. And these are as close to parables as we will find here. And we looked at these I am statements during Lent. I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life, and so on. But there was one that I did not get to, and that is, I am the true vine, which is our reading for today. I am the true vine appears in this section of John known as the farewell discourse. And this is a 3-chapter section in this gospel in which Jesus explains to his disciples that he will be leaving them. Now, the disciples are understandably disturbed about hearing this, and they argue with Jesus to stay. They even offer to go with him wherever it is that he's going. Of course, he can't stay, and he explains that they cannot follow him. In our reading for today, Jesus employs the metaphor of the grapevine to help them understand their options in the future. He explains that he is the true vine. And by true vine, he means the main vine of the grape plant. One of the jobs of the pruner is to identify the strongest central vine and remove the lesser vines so that the energy coming up through the roots will go into one vine. Jesus is the true vine, and God the Father is the vine grower. The vine grower removes any non-fruit-bearing branches. Branches that do bear fruit, they are pruned to bear even more fruit. So, to review where we are so far, God is the vine grower. Jesus is the one true vine. Disciples are the branches. And the branches that aren't bearing fruit, they get sliced off. And those that are producing fruit, they get pruned. So it sounds like everybody's going to get cut on in one way or another. Jesus reassures his disciples that they have already been cleansed. They've been cleansed by the words that he has spoken to them. And this word cleansed is interesting because it has the same root, no pun intended, as the Greek word for pruned. So the disciples, they've been cleansed. They've been pruned already by Jesus' teachings. They are ready to produce. This image of the vine is not meant to frighten the disciples. It is actually meant to comfort them, as we find when Jesus says, "Abide in me as I abide in you." There is a relationship between the branch and the vine. If you abide in me, Jesus tells them, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he says, spiritually there's not much you can do. Jesus warns, if you do not abide in me, you'll be cut off and tossed into the burn pile. But then there is the promise. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask then for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. That is, when we abide in Jesus, we can accomplish anything. My Father, he says, is glorified by this. And by this he means that you can bear much fruit and you can become my disciples. That is God's will for us all. So as the vine grower, God's pruning makes us better followers of Christ. A grapevine, which is growing wild and untended, will become a tight mess of snarled branches, which produces only a few small, bitter grapes. However, with care and attention and lots of careful pruning, a grapevine will produce abundantly. To abide in Jesus is to have faith. It is to believe, to follow, to obey. To abide in Jesus is to live in a close, intimate relationship with our Lord, like a branch which grows off of a vine. This passage is a teaching not just for Jesus' disciples, but for all who wish to be a disciple of Christ. Jesus may not be present with us in person, but we can still be connected to Him like branches on a vine. We can still abide in Him. However, this close proximity to Jesus does not mean that we can just hang around doing nothing. It's not like spring break where we just lie on the beach and soak up the sun. We are expected to bear fruit, what the Apostle Paul will later term fruits of the Spirit. If we don't, there will be judgment. But as branches connected to the vine, we are part of the body of Christ, with all the rights and responsibilities thereof. Christians are meant to be connected to Christ and to one another. We function as Christians when we are connected through the vine. It is how God created us to be connected. There are lots of things in our life to which we can abide in. We can abide in our jobs. We can abide in our relationships. We can abide in our wealth, in our idols. And each of these will produce fruit of one sort or another, but none are fruits of the Spirit. None are the fruits that God demands of us. To be a disciple of Christ is to abide in Christ alone. As I mentioned earlier, on the grapevine, the dead wood is cut off and the producing wood is pruned. And everybody's going to feel a little pain from this. But it is that pain that pushes us forward to try new things, to serve in new ways. Complacency produces nothing. Christ challenges His followers to bear fruit. And it is better to suffer the pain of being pruned than the pain of the fire. Jesus says, "I am the true vine." And He says this not to frighten us, but to remind us that He is always with us and that we are connected to Him. He is the vine, we are the branches. He is the body, we are the church. And for this, we can be truly thankful. Amen.